We left off last time I taught in Acts chapter 3. So if you turn with me to your Bibles in Acts chapter 3. We have a lot of wisdom given to us through this text, through this event that happened. We have followed the disciples as they waited upon the Lord to be empowered by the Spirit. He brings them at His perfect time in front of all of the tens of thousands, perhaps millions of people that were there for the feast at that time. And He empowered them to speak in a foreign language. Each person there heard their language spoken from these uneducated fishermen. And everyone was amazed. And so God is still using them for His plan and His purpose. He has empowered them with His Spirit to do what? To make disciples, to testify of Jesus Christ. And so as they continue on, we've left off last time I taught, and I'll just read this part in Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate in the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And so him leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and then they knew that this was he who sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Could you imagine those people seeing this guy? They just passed him. Perhaps he's been there for 40 years or however old he is from his mother's birth. He is a fixture. He is there every day. It says that they're brought there daily. They just passed this guy, and now he walks in. His life has been transformed and changed. And what is the first thing he does? Well, we'll talk about that. He worships God. He goes into the temple. But I want to touch on some points here. Those name it and claim it and prosperity doctrine. Here we see that the disciples have no money, have no resources to give him. In fact, I heard a pastor butcher this text. He titled the text, "Two Broke Preachers and a Crippled Man." And when he gets to the point where the disciples say, "Hey, look at us," he was teaching, look at the disciples, look into them, look how great they are, look what God's doing in them. And it wasn't about what Christ is doing. You see, they told him, "Look at us, pay attention and listen to what I have to say to you." Peter says, "Look up." The principle of ministry is contact needs to occur. There needs to be that relationship. There needs to be that connection. And I think it's important. I think we miss this in today's society with these mega churches where you never talk to the pastor. He's just a figurehead that you really never see. And there's no relationship. There's no care. Listen, I've been praying for you all while I was sick, while I was home in bed, praying that as Pastor Ron and Elder Dave would bring a message of hope and joy in Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Word, that you would grow in your spiritual strength and that God would continue to use you. There's care in the pastorate. It's not just coming up and preaching, "I've done my job." Oh, it's so much more than that. And these guys are learning this. So here's a man with need, and he has expectations. But they, silver and gold we don't have. And we went over that last time we were together. He is healed in the name of Jesus. The disciples had no power in and of themselves to heal anybody. But God had given these men this power to glorify Him. Why miracles? Miracles and signs were to authenticate the message and the messenger. And so remember, He sent them into the town. He said, "Wait until the Holy Spirit empowers you." And now look what God's doing. The Holy Spirit had empowered them. Peter gives a message. 3,000 people get saved. They're walking into this temple. And this man is there. He's always there. Have you ever ran into people like that? You go to a certain store, the person's always there with the same story, begging for money. And it's hard to differentiate whether or not, you know, this is legitimate or he's going to go to the next store and buy a six-pack. Well, most likely that will happen, but it's important for us to be led by the Spirit, because this is what we're going to talk about. Being led by the Spirit so that God could use us for his plan and his purpose. And so all the people saw. At this point, we need to understand the miracles had two purposes. An act of mercy on this man, but also will be used as a platform for Peter to bring the gospel. Mercy on this man. He didn't need money. Now, he needed tangible money to do whatever he was there for, right? He didn't need to walk because he spent his whole life that way. That was his norm. He never knew what it was like to walk. And he's using his conditions to touch the hearts of the people so that they would give money so that he can do whatever he was doing to support himself. Obviously, he couldn't work, right? He's crippled. He can't walk. He can't do anything to that extent during that time. Today, we can do so many things. We can work from our house, on our computers. There's so many things that can help us. But in this day, and listen, if he's in the temple daily, guaranteed, Jesus walked past this man for 3.5 years and never healed him. What? We're going to talk about that. Because it's very important for us to understand, to be led by the Spirit. God has a plan and a purpose. Jesus never healed this man, and I'm sure Jesus walked past him every time. He was at the temple gate. This isn't a new temple. It's always been there. And everyone went. Jesus came and went out of this. We see him at 12 years old in the temple teaching. This man was there, guaranteed. So let's pick it up in verse 11 through 16. Now a lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them. And the porch, which is called Solomon's, was greatly amazed. And so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look intently at us? As though by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him, this man, the perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So they knew this man. They were there when Jesus was crucified. They were part of it, right? God had the perfect plan. Why didn't Jesus heal this man while he was walking the earth? Because of this right here. He knew he would send these two men there, that this man would be healed, and God would utilize that miracle to then give him another audience. 5,000 people are going to get saved at this point. Peter is going to use this platform. This is why it didn't happen. In God's perfect timing. Remember, Jesus rose again. He walked the earth for 40 days. Prior to that, he had told them, "Go and wait for me." We've gone over this many times, but I want you to capture this. "Go and wait, and you'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit." And then 40 days later, Jesus is gone. He went to be in heaven. So it wasn't until 10 days later that the Holy Spirit empowers these disciples. Why? Because God, and only God, knows the perfect timing and his plan. Millions of people were going to be in the city at that time for the feast. And he gave each one of his disciples different languages to speak to be able to witness to them. Now, who could have ever written that? Who would have ever thought? I mean, if it would have been me, come on now. 5 days, Jesus, you said to wait. How much longer? They had no idea. 7 days, 8 days, 9 days, on the 10th day. This is it. I mean, I can't believe it hasn't happened. But it happened in God's perfect timing. They didn't know why they had to wait. We know, right? We know now we're reading this. And we know now why Jesus didn't heal this man, because he was going to use someone else to heal this man, to create a platform and an opportunity to teach the word of God. It's very important. We're told to walk in the Spirit, to listen to the Spirit, to obey the Spirit of God. And so if the Spirit is sending us out, empowered by the Spirit sent out, then the Spirit will guide us to who would what to do. And we see this happening. And so the people ran towards them, Peter, John, and this beggar, is healed, man. He's a man whole now. And God gives them this captive audience, and Peter seizes the opportunity. He says, men of Israel, these are the Jewish leaders. Paul was probably there at this time. Many would have been present at this at Jesus' ministry. They were there for his trial, his crucifixion, because Peter's saying, you guys sent him to Pilate. You denied him. You asked for a murderer to be set free. Now, why is he telling him this? Because it's all true. The Messiah has come, and through many signs and wonders, he's proven who he was, and only the true and living God knows the future before it happens, and he writes it down. It's called prophecy. So all of the forefathers and the prophets spoke of this man, Jesus, that he would come as a servant, and he would die, and he would rise again. Now they're testifying about it. How did that happen? The Spirit gave them power to do that. The Spirit gave them power. Otherwise, what would they do? They would deny Christ, right? They would deny Christ. There was a great denier in the Bible, one of the 12. We know who he was, right? Who was he? No, not him. Peter was a denier too. Yeah, Judas was, but so was Peter. I tricked you, right? Because we don't think of that. But three times Peter denied him. But here's what Jesus says to Peter, knowing in advance what he would do. He says, when you come back to me, feed my lambs. You see, he knew the future of Peter. He knew Peter would be repentant. Peter would come back to Christ. He would surrender his life anew. He would serve the Lord. Wow. You see, if you're with us in Matthew on Wednesdays, we're at the point where the first disciple is murdered. John the Baptist, his head's cut off. And they had to go take his body, headless. Because remember, the head was given to on a platter. Headless, and to bury him. And they were looking at their future in following Christ. Could you imagine that? How then would they do that? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. I will die for you, Lord, Peter said, right? And he will. And he'll die for the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. And on an earthly level, that sounds terrible. But for a Christian, it's a home run. We're with the Lord forever. All the things we're hoping and praying for now, and what the Bible tells us will be our future, will happen. We will see all those who went before us. And it'll be a rejoicing time in heaven. And yes, we're sad on earth, but we know it's a short time till we'll see them again. And so they say to these guys, because remember, they just walked in. He was crippled. And now he's walking and leaping in with the disciples. What a scene. What a scene, because he was yelling and screaming and praising the Lord. He's directly glorifying God. There's no personal agenda. Peter's not walking in. Yeah, we just healed this guy over here. Follow us. We're going to start a new healing ministry. Not at all. Not at all. Listen, unfortunately in today's society, there are rock star pastors who everybody flocks to. And oh, they're so great. If anybody's saying they're so great, look somewhere else. Because any pastor needs to deny himself and everything about himself and lift up Jesus Christ. The pastor is to point to the Savior, not to his ministry, not to what the church is doing, but look what God is doing. Now, God does that through the church. I'm not discounting that. A man told me yesterday, Pastor, I listen to you every morning on the radio. And here's my response, praise the Lord. And here's the second thought, thank the church. You know why he can get fed the word of God on the radio every day? Because of you all. Your money, finances that you give to the church pays for these ministries to happen. They don't just happen. There is no physical ministry, church, gathering, place to go without money. There's bills to pay, right? And because of your faithfulness to the Lord, this man every day listens to our ministry, not me, our ministry on the radio. Praise God. But I don't want ever want anybody to look to me. And I know you're not, because I'm not that rock star pastor. And thank God I'm not, because I my head would probably go this big, right? So they say, don't look to us. Why look at us? Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? They marveled at it because they had lost the sense of the greatness of God, that they served him daily, right? They should have been, but they really believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then God should have, they would have such a wonder for the Lord. Listen, when we look in the mirror, it's a miracle that we're saved, right? The fact that you're sitting here is a miracle. You have been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's a miracle. God does miracles every day. These particular miracles that we see were for these apostles. Can God heal today? Absolutely. We'll never put him in a box. But these healing ministries that you see on television, they've been investigated. We know the fraudulent behavior that happens in that. Why look to them? Go to the Lord. He can speak the truth. So Jesus walked past this man many times. We talked about that, but God had a plan for him to use these men who have surrendered their life to Christ to be a tool for ministry. And so the first question should have been for them is, well, he asked it, why marvel at this? Now, other people may marvel at it, but the Gentiles may marvel at it, but you, sons of Israel, your sons of the mighty Most High God, why would you marvel at this? They should have known the coming of the Messiah, his power, and what he would do. Wow. He's speaking to the Israelites here. He's in the temple. He's not talking to Gentiles here. You should have known. Why marvel at this? Second question, and why do you look so earnestly at us? Although, as if by our own power or holiness has made this man to walk. People so often relate the work of God with the instrument. That's what we're talking about, these rock star pastors and the bling of the stage and all that. There's some pastors I listen to, kind of mentoring online ministries. Probably never meet them, but wonderful teachers. There's nothing spectacular about them or their anything about the ministry. Even sometimes the video's terrible, but man, it's what he's saying. It's what he's teaching. It's the truth of the Word of God. It's the truth of the Word of God. Listen, we love the truth, right? We search for the truth. Well, everybody doesn't do that. People want to come to church to feel good. I come to church to learn. So here's what happened to me. I got saved at Calvary Chapel in 1994, April 13th, 1994. It was Wednesday night. I was the first one up at an altar call crying like a baby. I knew the Lord had healed me. And I had a lot of questions coming from a Catholic background. What does this mean? What is that? And you know when somebody knows and know what they're talking about. They're like, oh, they're winging it. You're like, no, that's not it. So I went to Bible college. Why did I go to seminary? I went to seminary to study the Word because I wanted to know if what that pastor is saying is true. I wanted to know. I wanted to study the Scriptures and find out, is he telling me the truth? Because this sounds so good. And big deal, I went to seminary, but it's a foundation, right? It's a foundation of truth. It brings you into the Bible, teaches you how to study hermeneutics, and then present a preaching, homiletics. There's aspects of that. But listen, we want to know the truth, not just to come to church to feel good, because you can feel great and not know the true and living Savior. And this is why Jesus says not everyone is going to say, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God. They've been taught or learned a false teaching, another doctrine, another Jesus. So he's telling them, why are you looking at us? Why are you marveling? You, sons of the Most High. And God our Father has glorified his servant Jesus. So notice, Jesus is depicted as a servant. It's in connection with Isaiah 52. Behold, my servant. So in verse 13 and 15, Peter excuses the Jews of four acts towards Jesus. Number one, that they betrayed Jesus to the Romans. He excuses them. Number two, that they denied and rejected Jesus. Peter's sensitive about that, right? What did he do? Think about after Jesus was crucified, they went to the tomb early in the morning. It says, as the sun was coming up, probably got left our house before it was still dark out before the sun's coming up. What do you hear early in the morning? Well, we won't hear that here in the city. But what do you think they heard the first thing in the morning? Roosters crowing, reminding him of his betrayal, his denial of Jesus, who they just hung. So Peter excuses them. Number three, he excuses them and asks that they ask for a murderer, Barabbas, instead of Jesus. And Peter excuses them, number four, because they killed Jesus. The point is, they're in opposition to God. Because verse 15 says, whom God raised from the dead. So where do you get this excuse stuff, Pastor? Well, let's read on. Verse 17 and 21. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. Oh boy, there we go. As did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ would suffer has been fulfilled. If you have your own Bible, verse 18, underline that. Only the true and living God knows the future. It was fulfilled, spoken about in the Old Testament, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And here it is, verse 19. Here's the grace of God to these men presented to them. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So we're students of the Bible. We're not just coming here and it read. I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're capturing all the points as we're going through this. Paul says that he has taught the whole counsel of God. That's why we go through the scriptures chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to understand what God has said, why he has said it, and what does it mean, right? So Peter gave them the truth. Now he gives them the grace. He says, I know you did this in ignorance. Now, how does he have the right to say that? You ever thought about that? You ever conceive that that's what he said? The Holy Spirit gave him the wisdom, but what did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Their ignorance. Father, forgive them. Wow. And we were once ignorant of God and his holiness. But when we came to know the truth, we had to respond. There is no option. Either you are for me or you are against me. And so there is a response that they're going to have to give. They did it in ignorance. God foretold Christ would suffer. Remember, they were looking for a powerful king that would overthrow Rome and that they would be in power again. Right now, they're puppets to Rome. And this Messiah was to come. Remember, they hailed him king. But he wasn't the king that they thought or wanted. Jesus came speaking of a spiritual kingdom. They wanted him coming as an earthly kingdom. Isaiah 52 through 53. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised up and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many of whom were appalled to him. In his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Did you capture that? If you're taking notes, Isaiah 52 and chapter 53. He was beaten to a pulp. Disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form was marred beyond human likeness. So he will be sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. This is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, there's another prophecy that has yet to come, Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour out my spirit on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for their firstborn. But Christ will forgive them. The nation will be saved. God has a plan for his people. He has grace and mercy. That has yet to happen. He has fulfilled, Jesus fulfills the prophecy of the suffering servant, because God had foretold of him by the mouth of the prophets. Here, God has spoken by all of the prophets. 2 Peter 1, verse 21 says, the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. The Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. The same Holy Spirit, the author of this book, dwells within you if you're a believer in Christ. Wow. And I have the power to live and walk with Christ and to be led by his Spirit and guided by his Spirit to be used as he has chosen to use me, and the same with you. You know people I'll never meet or never know, but God has you in their sphere of influence so that you can tell them about Christ as the Holy Spirit leads, right? God had foretold by the mouth of the prophets. The implication, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He is God, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 19, here's the application of Peter's sermon. Repent and be converted. Repent, turn. I watched a video this morning of a tsunami in an island. Or it looked like an island. They were on the seashore in India. And there's hundreds of people on the shore and on this dock along the water, watching this tsunami wave come. They're watching it. Now you can see some of the people run away. Others are, okay, they're just so slow. And literally people sat there until it crashed right on top of them. I mean, what were they thinking? I mean, we don't have those in Florida, not yet at least. I mean, if something happens, you know, there is a fault line from Florida to Cuba, and if anything ever happened, who knows? But I'm just saying, they watch this devastation as if it was not. People just walk like no big deal. No, your life depends on what you do. You better run. You better turn. The same thing for all mankind. All mankind have a genitive default. We were born with it. We had no choice. It's called sin. And the one who created us has made a way where there was no way that we can provide. The wages of sin is death. He died in our place so that if we would believe in him, we would have eternal life. All of us are in the same boat. Death sentence from sin. But all of us could have eternal life through Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. That day will come. Christ will come back. He said so. I saw her sitting on the sidewalk, an elderly homeless woman. And I wanted to use that opportunity just to engage. And you never know how that's going to go, just so you know. And if you're interested in sidewalk evangelism, Dennis and Maria are going to talk about that after the service. If you're interested in that and being trained up to evangelize, all I said to her as I walked up, I said, hey, good morning. She looked at me with this frown. And I said, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? And she smiled. She had no teeth. Not one tooth in her head. She smiles with this big old smile. And then I gave her some money and I walked away. And she may have been sitting there for hours saying, Lord, does anybody know that I even exist? Does anybody see me? Does anybody? And I don't know that that happened. I'm just thinking, perhaps her, like you and I at times, Lord, does anybody know what's going on? But we know, because we know what the Lord says, right? We know he's with us. He never leaves us, never. But sometimes we need to be reminded of that, right? These were the religious people of the day. They needed to be reminded of what the scripture says. You see, because they knew the scriptures, they thought they were right with God. But Jesus says, these things speak of me. Wow. It's not about just knowing a verse. It's not about just coming to church and singing. That doesn't get you to heaven. Being a pastor doesn't get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven? There's no good people in heaven, just so you know. Not one. Except Jesus. There's not one good person in heaven or hell. Who goes to heaven? Redeemed people who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, who accepted the gift of eternal life. That's it. All of us fall short of the perfection that God requires. He's the standard. Not your pastor, not your wife, not your husband, not your neighbor. Jesus is the standard, and that's perfect. We can't meet that. And so listen, he imputes to us his perfection, his righteousness into those who believe. Wow. Are we still tempted? Do we still sin? Yes, we're living in a fallen world, in a fallen body, in a fallen hard drive, right? One day, all that'll be gone. When we became believers, we now have the power over our body and the decisions that we make. Prior to that, we were just robots doing whatever we wanted. The body would say jump, we'd say how high. Now, we're born body, soul, and spirit. When we're born again, that's turned upside down. It's spirit, soul, and body. The spirit has control if we let it, right? So Peter's challenging them, men of Israel, when the Jews repent, three things will happen. Number one, their sins will be blotted out, just like ours. We haven't replaced the nation of Israel. Jesus has another plan for them. They were God's chosen people. They have been set aside. Salvation has come to the Gentiles. We are now bringing the truth to the world, but the church will be raptured. Harpazo in the Greek means snatched away. And then when Christ, when the church is snatched away, everything then turns back to the nation of Israel. And we get through Revelation, we'll talk about that. Number two, they will be a time of refreshing. They've missed out on a lot. I know when I came to the Lord, I was just so happy. I knew my sins were forgiven. I knew the words and the actions and the things that I've said and done have been wiped away, never to be remembered no more. On God's perspective, Satan keeps reminding us of our past, right? Number three, Jesus will come from heaven. He will return just as he left. Why hasn't this happened yet? Because Israel, as a nation, has not repented. They will repent at Jesus' second coming. And that's what we read in Zechariah chapter 2. So we're going to finish this chapter, verse 22 and 26. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall bear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. They're speaking of Jesus here. Jesus is that prophet. And yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and through whom follow, as many as spoken, as also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away everyone from your iniquities. So he touches them in their heart. They believed in Moses. He starts with Moses. Peter uses the law. It's accepted by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This prophecy comes from Deuteronomy chapter 18. And Peter applies this prophecy, to Christ for three purposes. Number one, to show the Jews that Jesus is the fulfillment. Everything spoken about in Jesus has happened right before their eyes. Casting of lots. He wouldn't speak a word. He's hung on a cross. Everything was spoken of. He would be betrayed by his friends. All of this spoken of. Number two shows they're responsible to listen to Jesus. Jesus was spoken of by their forefathers. And number three, show them the consequences of not listening. Every soul would be destroyed. Listen, why doesn't Jesus beg the Pharisees and the Sadducees to believe in him? No, really, I'm the Christ. Seriously. Why doesn't he do that? Because he knows their heart. And Jesus says that you are sons of your father. And your father was a liar from the beginning, sons of Satan. You see, God knows the condition of someone's heart. And as he uses us to minister to people, he will guide us if we let him, if we're being led by the Spirit of God, on what to say and who to say it to. Jesus walked past this cripple. That's so mean, right? He could have healed him. God had a plan and a purpose for such a time as this, for such a time for these disciples. There have been times where I've had compassion, I believe moved by the Holy Spirit, to speak to someone about a specific thing, and it was true. Oh, wow. How did you know that? Right? I'm not a fortune teller, certainly not. But God gave me something to say. Something, I don't even remember what the particulars were, but about a marriage situation. Hey, what's going on? I'm glad you brought that up. The Holy Spirit gives that to us. And another time, the Holy Spirit told me not to say a word to this person. I think I've mentioned to you before, I went to a restaurant, and the girl came out with this mask, and on the mask, it was a Ouija board on her face. Think about that, over her mouth, quieting, shutting her speech. And I just felt, don't say a word to her. If we're being led by the Spirit of God, then he knows how he's going to use us, right? And so it's important for us to be led by the Spirit, to be obedient and submissive to the Spirit of God. How do we know what the Spirit of God does? Well, the Bible shows us. We're seeing this right before us, right? This man has a need. It wasn't that he was a cripple. God healed him of that. He needed to be saved. And then God would use the Savior of this man because he comes into the temple and he worships God. Peter's able to now bring the message through this one man. He was the start of all of this, right? One man. But by the power of God, Peter's going to give, through this testimony that we just read, this sermon, 5,000 people are coming to Christ. 5,000. Who did that? God did it.